Seven to shoot. Outside the arc. Kobe White. Gotta go. Changing directions again. And then dragging through. Banks it in. And one.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get back around to football probably in about 20 minutes. But right now, the Mavericks and Stars Super Segment. Would you like to start with the Mavericks or the Stars? I will warn you, it's not super positive on either front.
Well, I will tell you something that is positively gross. All the jokes that people are sending in right now, Kevin, because of you.
Oh, man.
You've made this happen. And I feel like
some of them are pretty good.
I feel like we do need to hire Aiden to make a compilation of all of these jokes that you make. And then all the disgusting faces we make whenever you do it. So,
why didn't the son go to college? Because it already had too many degrees.
But that's a different story for a different time. But Kevin, I guess we should start with the Mavericks.
All right.
This is the worst part.
Yeah.
Of it right now.
So we can talk about the game itself and getting freaking run by the Bulls after Jason Kidd got ejected from the game. I believe that was in the first quarter. But we didn't get the opportunity. The news broke on G-Bag on Friday, to which point I was like, son of a B. Because at the time, Jason Kidd had talked about on Friday, Anthony Davis, you know, all we know is that he hurt his left hand and we'll update it. And then you find out, ooh, potential for torn ligaments, might be out multiple months. They're going to try to get a second opinion. And then you see him at the Bulls shoot around with a sling on his arm. And it just, the timing absolutely sucks. And I know what people are going to say, I totally understand, is Day to Davis, unfortunately, he gets hurt. And that's the thing about it. And I hear you, and I obviously have no leg to stand on if I'm going to try to dispute that. But the thing that is so freaking frustrating about this for me is you were so close to having that be somebody else's problem. Like, especially earlier in the week, you heard just the unmitigated gall of Anthony Davis's agent, like, floating out there that he preferred to get a four-year, $275 million extension in the offseason. Like, what the hell are you even talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, because he's already under contract for two more years, but I guess in that scenario, they'd be like, well, we'll void the player year, but you'd have him under contract for another 5 years. I can't get you to play for five straight weeks and barely five straight games. And it was almost done. Like, the Hawks had made their move of Trae Young. And I agree, Trae Young had already become an albatross in their locker room and they needed to move on. But part of the reason they made that move was to clear the way for the Anthony Davis deal with the Mavericks. You had a good idea of what the assets were going to look like. And even if you think that it wasn't enough, the Mavericks were going to add Zachary Risacher, a 20-year-old number one pick the year before Cooper Flagg in an admittedly weaker draft, but he has plenty of defensive and athletic potential and a first-round pick for somebody who you can't consistently get on the court and salary cap relief with a couple of players. You were so close, and now why would Atlanta do that?
Yo, well, okay, so that's gone. Now they got to figure out what to do with that money, the things that they have available to make all this happen.
And I'll admit, I could be wrong about that, but I'm just sitting here and thinking,
oh, you're right.
Why would Atlanta do that now?
Or they would start taking things away. Now, the reason they might is because they look at the player and say, we'll have him around.
And Jalen Johnson to build around.
And we're moving, and the Mavericks would do it, obviously, less for the picks now.
Right.
And more definitely for the ability to dump contract. So that would be a reason there. But you have to find a way to incentivize Atlanta now. Like, more than anything else, they're going to be asking for more back in some way, shape, or form in order to make this happen.
Or I'm worried they take that pick away,
mm-hmm.
which sucks because you have your upcoming pick
right.
and then not control of any first-round pick till 2031.
Yeah, which would, again, the Mavericks would want to because they can use some of that salary.
Yes,
but that pick would be you were in leverage.
Yeah,
and you had the best hand there. Now, I guess I'm kind of, should the Mavericks have moved faster?
Yeah,
whenever they saw Atlanta make the deal, or were they sitting back going, no, no, let's see how this thing plays out? Because, Kevin, if you know Anthony Davis, you know you have to move fast because you don't have much time. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. And that's a frustrating thing. It's fun to watch him play on the court with Cooper Flagg and that team, and then when they start doing things, it can be fun.
Yeah.
But the Mavericks, where they sit there going, hold on, we're not really sure we want to do this. What if we keep Anthony? Were they doing that? Or were they more like, no, we have to make this move. We have to make this move. It's just a matter of time. Because they didn't have that time. You have to move quick.
No, I still think it was the first one.
Or do you think Atlanta was kind of perusing their other options, too?
Actually, believe it or not, I don't. I still think it was that first one. Because remember, we've heard so many, like, supposed statements, although they have not come out in the press directly from the people, but we've heard a lot of secondhand statements about how the Mavericks or their ownership really wanted to see this team play to kind of see what they would look like, you know, once Anthony Davis was healthy and when Kyrie came back. And I understand.
Yeah, I get it.
If you're thinking about the appeal of a potentially generational number one pick in Cooper Flagg to go along with, when he's healthy, surely a top 15 player in the league, and Anthony Davis, and the return, if he's healthy, of the engine that makes it all go, and Kyrie Irving. I understand the appeal of why you would be like, I don't know, maybe we should stick with that. But like you said, they waited too long,
mm-hmm.
and now you're not going to see it come to fruition. Because if you do see it come to fruition, when? In March, when you have no shot of probably even getting in to the plan already as it stands. You're three games out of the absolute worst spot in the plan and 10 games out of being in like the real playoffs to start.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this will be the plan whatsoever. I kind of hope they tell Kyrie to take his time and like, let's see Brandon Williams go all out. Let's see Christy Nembhard, Najee Marshall to go along with Cooper. Like, let's see everything you got and let the chips fall where they may.
I know how you feel here, but if the boss came to you and said that, you'd be like, nope, I want on that court right now. As soon as I can be out there.
For sure.
And I don't know how you convince a Kyrie to take his time.
Yeah, no, that is fair.
But
I understand.
I agree. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that they can still go out there. I mean, Kevin, the lack of bigs now. They can still go out there and lose plenty of games.
Right.
But I understand you want top four potential. Weren't the Mavs, though, like, weren't they destined to have like a 0.3 chance last year to get the number
one
pick?
It was like 1.5.
Magically, nobody knows how, they got the number one overall.
Look, if you tell me that could happen again, the top of this class is loaded, whether you think it's three potential all-star players, maybe four, maybe you think it's even deeper than that at the top. And that's the thing. Like, I know people wanted, and that's another reason, by the way, that Atlanta would have made that deal with you. Because you might be like, well, why would Atlanta trade away a draft pick? Well, think about it. From Atlanta's perspective, we all have rose-colored glasses with Anthony Davis at one point or another. And then you've still got Jalen Johnson there, who looks like they're who they're really building their franchise around. And then you had New Orleans pick. There's a really good shot New Orleans pick is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not number one, like, certainly you have to feel great about it being in the top four. So if you're them, are you like, hey, maybe we'll have A.J. DeMonta and Jalen Johnson and Anthony Davis? That sounds like a hell of a start to a roster. And I think that's why Atlanta would have been willing to throw in their other number one pick. And now, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, because I would still make that deal in a heartbeat, but I don't know about the motivation for Atlanta. In the meantime, for people that want to see the Mavericks move as low in the standings as possible, they got absolutely drilled by the Bulls. And one of the things that came out of that game, go ahead and give me cut number 14. Jason Kidd, he got ejected.
We have video of what just happened. We got a lot to clean up here to tell you about, everyone. Number one, Scott Foster, I'm not surprised by this, by the way. Scott Foster has ejected Jason Kidd from the game for just the second time as coach of the Mavericks. Jay Kidd has been ejected.
Now, they put out the referee pool report. I'm going to skip closer to the bottom, Question. So to be clear, they were granted the timeout but not allowed to make the challenge. That's correct. Follow-up question. And why did Jason Kidd, what did Jason Kidd say to earn the ejection? He used profanity towards an official on two separate occasions and was given a technical foul for each occasion. Now, whether you think that's a Scott Foster issue, which feels like that was heavily
Scott
insinuated.
Foster doesn't like cuss words.
Oh,
that's why?
Or the Mavericks. Probably, probably more of that.
I think the cuss word's probably big. He said on two different occasions.
And they got teed up.
He said profanity words.
See, and that's tough, right? Because I feel like if you're like, oh, that's some S, I don't necessarily know if you should get a tech. But if you look right at that person and you're like,
you're a piece of S.
Yeah, that feels like that should be judged differently.
So if you're a Jason Kidd, you need to go to the Philip Rivers School of Trash Talk.
Yeah.
And
gee whiz, Scott. You're really giving us the business out there. Like, I feel like that guy's not going to get ejected, right? Now, in the meantime, I told you this was going to be, unfortunately, a tough segment. Go ahead and give me cut number 16, because we promised we would talk about the Stars as well, even though...
It happened.
Well, listen to this.
Rebound, back for Toffoli, fires, block, Celebrini, across, Eklund, Toffoli, scores! Can you believe it? The Sharks come all the way back and beat the Dallas Stars in overtime!
That was a hell of a call, but also, no, I can't believe it. This might have been the most agitating loss in this run. The Stars had lost six in a row. They have now lost seven of eight. Four of those were in overtime or in shootout. And this one was particularly agitating because you didn't come back to force overtime. You had it. You controlled this game. You were up 4-2 in the third period.
And they typically going out of the second period with a lead like that are doing just fine.
Yes. And I can't say it's in regards to what did we talk about last week, how bad the Stars had been or how mediocre they had been on 5-5. That was not the case in this game at all because it was the penalty kill. The penalty kill was absolutely dreadful. On six power play attempts from San Jose, they scored four goals, including the game winner. So four of their five goals were on the power play, and they scored on four of their six attempts. Now, the Stars special teams has been really good all throughout the season, but this game absolutely sucked. And I know you still got a point. Whoop-dee-doo. That was a two-pointer for sure.
Going into Friday, Kevin, the Stars and the power rankings had plummeted from 2-4. And I feel like
doesn't feel so
I feel
bad,
like they
right?
need to drop about 28 more spots right now based on the way that they've been playing.
Yeah, look, I'm glad that power rankings might not fold in as much emotion as we feel like. Because right now I'd be like, put them 16, but that's too far. But it's just
middle of the pack, Alec, middle of the pack.
And we don't want that. That's where the Cowboys sit on good days. But this was just a really frustrating loss because you were playing a team that it looks like theoretically you were definitely better than. You gave up a lead. Your dependable special teams absolutely fell apart and you only got 1 point. And maybe more importantly, you didn't have the chance to win another game. Maybe that's more important than 1 point to 2 points, is at least even if you like found a way to win in overtime, you could be like, hey, we gave up the lead, but now we've won two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the case. Now you're still sitting with the losing streak before. You lost this one. You play tonight and on Tuesday as you continue the West Coast swing. So just as an aside, if you're hoping to get to sleep early and you want to watch all of the Stars games, these next two nights are not for you.
Kevin, I did see that Ovechkin got to 20 goals for the 21st straight season. Is that a cool thing?
That is a cool thing, but you know what's even cooler? Jason Robertson scored his 26th goal. Not good enough to be on the Olympic team, but whatever.